Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to Black Falls, Alberta, a special edition of Sportsnet today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, live from the AJHL Showcase running September 29th to October 2nd here at the new Eagles Builder Center in Black Falls, Alberta. I'm Logan Gordon along with you. Very pleased to welcome in now the commissioner of the Alberta Junior Hockey League, Ryan Bartoszek, joining us today. Thanks for having us, Ryan.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks for coming out, guys.
Thanks for having us out. How's the weekend been out here so far?
Yeah, it's been great. Obviously a fantastic facility here in Black Falls, and very proud to be in this community welcome them to the AJHL here in their second season. So big weekend for us and our athletes, so really proud to be here.
How long has the AJHL been doing a showcase like this?
I think we're in about year 15 or 16 here.
So now, yeah.
we've gotten to a period where we built a quality event for our athletes and for our coaches. And again, the opportunity for our athletes to be in front of the scouting community and together here this weekend is really unbelievable opportunity for them.
And that's the main goal of a showcase like this, is to bring all of your talent together in one area and make it as accessible for them to show off their talents to the hockey world, really?
Yeah, most definitely. And just, you know, the nature of our league and the vast geography of our league, we're giving our athletes here the opportunity early in the season to be recognized and get on the radar of the scouting community.
Talk to me about where we are today in Black Falls, obviously starting maybe with the process of bringing a team here and how they got underway back in 2021 now.
Yeah, formerly the Calgary Mustangs, and went through a process with our Board of Governors and the group here led by Doug Quinn, and really a committed group throughout the whole process to really buying into the development model of the Alberta Junior Hockey League and throughout the province. The impact we have on our communities and how we have to be ingrained. And so we're here today in this fantastic building, and part of that commitment from that group and from Doug to be part of our league. It's really impressive here and adds to our league and continues to build on where we're at.
Yeah, you mentioned it right there, and it was the first thing that caught my eye when I came here today. Is it's a first-class facility here in Black Falls, and that's got to be something that you're incredibly proud of and something that the league is incredibly proud of, that, you know, one of their franchises gets to call a facility like this home.
Yeah, and the dynamics of the game and bringing athletes in and ingraining them into the community and the opportunities for them outside the rink, whether that's in school, again, interacting with the community behind the scenes, the dressing room, the training facility. So it all adds up to the experience of playing junior hockey here in Alberta.
Ryan Bartoszek with us, the AJHL commissioner. Give me a more general sense. How happy today is the commissioner with the state of the league?
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember just a year ago we were dealing with COVID, as was everyone, and with limited capacity in the facilities. So, you know, we have to be thankful of where we're at today and not take that for granted. And again, looking at our different communities throughout the province, bringing those people back into our facilities, engaging them again, you know, one of our foundational components are our communities. So, again, bringing them back, getting people in the stands, getting our athletes out in the community, and of course developing our athletes on the ice. So it's exciting just to be back this season.
If you were, you know, as a commissioner, to point to some areas you'd like to work on, something that's, you know, caught your eye when you look at the state of the league that you're focused on, is it mostly that, you know, sort of bouncing back from COVID, or is there another area that you'd point to?
Yeah, I think that's a big piece of engaging our communities again, and really we have to remember, you know, what our athletes went through. Not a lot of game opportunities over the last 2 years. Yes, last year we had opportunities, but it was a little bit different. And just for those athletes to be back on the ice, to have a regular season, a full regular season, is important. And I think, you know, we've seen a lot of parity here throughout the first couple of weeks, which is great for our league. And we're going to enter, you know, a season in November and December where our quality coaches can really work with these young athletes, and we'll see the effects of that here down the season.
Obviously, the AJHL has a long list of alumni that have reached NHL level, but the one everyone's talking about right now is obviously the kid from Calgary, and that's Cale Makar. He reached, obviously, a Stanley Cup final, and he rose, brought the trophy back to Calgary as a member. He's an alumni of the AJHL. how awesome is it for you to see another AJHL alumni having such a huge impact like that in the NHL today?
Yeah, just an incredible person and an incredible family there. And, you know, credit to the organization and Brooks for his development and his commitment to the Alberta Junior Hockey League as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing to see what he's done and really been loyal to his word and loyal to the pathway of development. And I think a lot of times in the game right now we see the push for accelerated development, you know, get to this level now, get to this level next, and sometimes that isn't the best. So, you know, again, credit to him and his family and the organization for that commitment, and, you know, it's just great to see his success.
How does someone like Cale having success in the NHL, do you feel it helps raise the profile of the league in general when they see someone like that having that kind of success in the league?
Yeah, most definitely. And every path is different, and every individual is different. And it ultimately proves that, you know, this path can work.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of factors into that. And, you know, the individual, the family, the organization, the school he goes to, right? So it's worked out well for Cale and definitely worked out for a lot of athletes in our league as well.
Ryan, thanks so much for the time today. Really do appreciate it. Thank you for having us out here at the showcase as well. I hope it's something we can do in the future. It looks like it's been a tremendously successful weekend, and hopefully the rest of the season is just as successful for you guys.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Appreciate it. That's Ryan Bartoszczyk, the commissioner of the Alberta Junior Hockey League, joining us here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, out here for the AJHL Showcase 2022 edition. Very glad that we could get Ryan on there and talk a little bit of everything around the Alberta Junior Hockey League today. And yes, we'll have a broadcast coming up for you following Sportsnet today, the Black Falls Bulldogs and the Whitecourt Wolverines coming at you here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, and Peter Labardius, the color voice of the Calgary Flames here on Sportsnet 960. Just getting the intel ready. Last I heard from Lou, he was having a quick conversation, a little powwow with the coaches this afternoon from Black Falls and Whitecourt, trying to bring you the latest and greatest up-to-date information ahead of this broadcast tonight. That's just what Lou does. You guys don't need to hear about that. That's exactly what he's done. Since he's been a phenomenal broadcaster across the hockey world. So he's getting set for tonight's showcase game, the Black Falls Bulldogs and the Whitecourt Wolverines, right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Puck drop coming up in just under 2 hours' time. So once again, thanks to Ryan Bartoszczyk of the AGHL to joining us here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Turning things back to the Calgary Flames. Last night, they continued their preseason with a game up the road in Edmonton, a 2-1 loss at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers. Former Calgary Flame Brett Kulak with the game winner. Dylan Dubé, the only marker for the Calgary Flames last night. The star of the show, though, is obviously that of Dan Vladar, the backup goaltender, for the Calgary Flames, shining once again in preseason action and begging the question what his workload will be this season when it comes to being the number two behind Jacob Markstrom. That's going to be a topic that we monitor all preseason long and into the season, because those questions did loom about Jacob Markstrom's postseason performance against the Edmonton Oilers. Was it simply a case of, you know, letting the game get the best of him? Was he tired in that series after a 7-game grind against the Dallas Stars? What can Dan Vladar do to help the performance of Jacob Markstrom? It's a question a lot of Flames fans are asking right now, and it's one that was only highlighted again last night after a monster performance from the Flames netminder. It was a much more NHL-laden lineup for the Oilers. They threw 38 shots at Dan Vladar. They went 0-for-3 on the power play. The Oilers were the better group last night, no doubt, but the Flames goaltender keeping them in it. A couple of notable NHLers who went up the road to Edmonton, including the likes of Tyler Toffoli. You had Jonathan Huberdeau there, Connor Mackey, Rasmus Anderson, Juuso Välimäki, and, of course, Dan Vladar. So a handful of NHLers making their way up for the Flames. Obviously not the performance they were looking for, but let's hear the evaluation from the guy that makes the final decisions for the Calgary Flames. That is Daryl Sutter. He spoke to the media post-game last night following the Flames' defeat in Edmonton.
Well, just what did you think here tonight with your group?
Thought we dug in, hung in there.
What anybody about, impress you?
Pardon?
Anybody impress you?
You know, I thought some of our kids that are boys like Connor and Zari that are only second-year pros, I thought he had a good game.
Can that be a good you know, learning experience or a good test for those guys to face what is essentially their opening night lineup?
Well, it's more the center ice position. You know, we leave three centers, top three centers at home. Big difference in the game.
Seems like your goaltending was pretty good tonight.
Pardon?
Seems like your goaltending was pretty
good. Yeah, our goaltending's usually pretty good.
What did you think of a guy like Mitch McClain there? I think fought Darnell Nurse twice.
I don't know which one he was trying to decide which one, I think. I don't really know what happened there. I thought we were getting a power play out of it, but I don't really know what was going on there.
Has he been an intriguing guy to watch in camp, even though he's not on an NHL contract?
Yeah, the guys that work hard, and that's their MO. I've had several of them guys, older guys, play through the first four or five games, and that's why they outwork younger guys.
There you go. The head coach of the Calgary Flames, Daryl Sutter. In a short post-game address last night following the Flames 2-1 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. The head coach not sticking around for a lot of time last night. Obviously, the team getting back to Calgary and getting focused on their next home game, which comes up on Monday. Some highlights from last night. We obviously mentioned the play of Dan Vladar. He was the star of it for the Calgary Flames. Jonathan Huberdeau does play just about 17 minutes of time last night. Three hits on the night, but no real offensive impact. Obviously, you heard Daryl talk that the Flames left their top three centers at home, and that was a difference in the game for them. A real chance for Adam Ruzicka to make an impact last night. He started on a line in between Tyler Toffoli and Jonathan Huberdeau. Don't think the impact was there from number 63 on the night. Also, a really disappointing 33% on the draw. That's not going to get it done. A lot of Flames fans also pointing to the play of Sonny Milano last night, the PTO forward, with two shots on goal in 15 minutes of ice time, 237 of that coming on the power play, and I guess a lack of urgency, probably the best way to describe it. If you're Sonny Milano, that was the message that a lot of people were carrying on social media last night, that if this is a guy fighting for an NHL contract and potentially, you know, his NHL season this year, at least when it comes to the Calgary Flames, not sure that showcase gets it done for the Calgary Flames or for any other NHL organization that's keeping an eye on Sonny Milano during this PTO. The other PTO with the team is Cody Eakin. He gets 18:25 of ice time last night, including 2:57 shorthanded. Interesting spot for Eakin. Not sure whether or not he is penciled in for this lineup on night one or not. But again, another name to keep an eye on. Michael Stone, the other third PTO, if you will. Another four shots on goal for Stone. Just a casual 23:53 for Stone last night as the veteran on the back end with Rasmus Anderson and Noah Hanifin. 2:35 power play time, 2:19 of shorthanded time. You know what Michael Stone's going to give you night in, night out. The big name on the night last night, you heard the head coach mentioning him there, Mitch McClain. Here on an American Hockey League deal with the Calgary Flames, but making his presence known last night in back-to-back fights with Oilers star defenseman Darnell Nurse. Not sure exactly how the Oilers would feel about Darnell Nurse taking exception and going back-to-back rounds with a guy on an AHL contract, but Mitch McClain more than willing to oblige Darnell Nurse twice on the night, and he spoke about his performance post-game. He caught the eye of the head coach and obviously made an impact on the ice with those two fights.
Just start with, you know, kind of the feel of this one, and obviously kind of the fight to the end come up a little short, but just the pushback from your group here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Vladdy, he played great in front or behind us all night, and we needed it because they played a big lineup, and we had some guys that trying to earn roster spots and went out there and competed. And I mean, obviously, it's a great atmosphere here at Battle of Alberta, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, what about that challenge, though? You know, kind of, you know, what their roster looks like heading in and just how you managed it.
Yeah, they're great players, but we got hungry guys and great players in here, too. And if you just go out there and just realize that they put their gear on one leg at a time, too, and you just give it your all, I think good things happen.
Maybe take us through that third period and a couple of meetings with Darnell Nurse and sort of how those progressed.
Yeah, you know, we were on the forecheck all night, our line. I thought we were kind of chipping and chasing like we have been doing, and you know, I thought I hit Kane clean, but Nurse came up and tried to hit me in open ice, and just one of those things where the emotions got and try to stand up for myself. And then he wanted another run at it, and I mean, I'm not going to back down from that, and I respect him standing up for a teammate and wanted another go, and I was happy to oblige.
Yeah, it looked like there was a little mutual respect there at the end of that second one.
Yeah, I mean, after the first one, too, we chatted in the box, and it was just guys playing hard, and he probably knows that I'm trying to earn a spot here, and, I mean, he's an established guy, but, I mean, that's good leadership out of him, and just real happy he gave me a go, and I was happy about it.
Third preseason game for you, and I think you told me the other night this is kind of the best you felt. You know, what does feel so good right now for you?
I just think that everything's kind of a perfect storm here. The way we play, the expectation, the way things are handled, I just kind of all business and just hard work, and I think that's just what I do every day.
There you go. That's Calgary Flames forward Mitch McLean here on a American Hockey League deal, but making an impact at the NHL level this preseason. You heard him there, back-to-back scraps with Darnell Nurse, the number one defenseman of the Edmonton Oilers, and I saw more than a handful of Oilers fans that were, I don't know if cringing is the word, but maybe a little bit of nervousness that Darnell Nurse was willing to drop the gloves twice in a preseason game against a guy that, yeah, as you heard Mitch say, is, you know, fighting for a job with the Calgary Flames. Darnell Nurse is an established guy making over $9 million a season in the NHL. Not sure that's how I would approach that situation if I was Nurse. You love a guy stepping up for a teammate, but that's a situation where you break a hand or you get a bad injury off of a fight like that. You're going to look back at the preseason and wonder why exactly you put yourself in that situation. We are live here in Black Falls, Alberta for the 2022 AJHL Showcase. This is Sportsnet Today. I'm Logan Gordon along with you talking a little bit of Calgary Flames hockey following a 2-1 loss to the Edmonton Oilers last night. We've mentioned him a couple times. You heard him mentioned there by Mitch McLean, Dan Vladar, the star of the show once again for the Calgary Flames. He keeps them in this in what was a otherwise pretty lackluster offensive effort, but you won't need great efforts offensively if your goaltending is going to show up and play like that. It's raised a lot of questions with Flames fans who are excited to see what Dan Vladar can bring in year two in the Calgary Flames red and yellow. We'll hear from the Flames goaltender last night post-game in Edmonton.
Just to start, let's just kind of get your assessment of the feel of this game and how it looked through your eyes.
I mean, sucks we didn't get the W, right? Because I think we played well, you know. Obviously, their full lineup, but I think we just got stuck with the structure that we were supposed to have. And, you know, guys did a really good job in front of me. Didn't have a lot of, like, tape or screens and stuff like that. So they were doing a really good job that I had, like, all the plays were just right in front of me, right? So that helped me a lot. Obviously, got some busy periods, but at the same time, that's what the goalie's like, right? So sucks that we didn't win, right? Like, we were close. We had some chances at the end, so.
But another step in kind of the progression, too, of the preseason when we talk about a, you know, a lineup that's pretty close to their full roster as well.
Yeah, 100%. But as I said, like, we won one after a second. We could have scored that one, you know. I could have stopped that one and could have been a different story today.
Daryl mentioned the battle, though, the battle from the group, just to kind of keep pushing there, especially in the third couple of looks there to tie it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, that was our goal, you know, come here. And I think everybody was trying to step up tonight, and I think most of the guys did. And, you know, I think that we can come home kind of proud, you know, still be lost. But at the same time, you know, it was their full roster. And I think that we played good hockey, and it was probably a fun game to watch. I
mean, you've seen a lot of action so far in the preseason. Park said progression. How are you feeling about your game at this point in camp?
I feel good, you know. I just want to get some win, you know.
There you go. Dan Vladar speaking to media post-game last night in Edmonton. He was the star of the show for the Calgary Flames. 36 saves on 38 shots, a .947 save percentage for Dan Vladar last night. And really opening up a number of interesting questions for the Calgary Flames. What kind of split will we see with Dan Vladar in goal? This is one of the better backups the Flames have produced the last couple of years. That third round pick looking like it's worth every penny so far that they paid to the Boston Bruins acquiring Vladar 2 summers ago, and now heading into year two with the Calgary Flames, is he ready to take that next step and provide, you know, Jacob Markstrom with a true backup that's going to continue to get trust from the coaching staff, pick up wins when they need to? Those are things that are huge for this Calgary Flames group. We don't know, and we'll never really know, what exactly ailed Jacob Markstrom when it comes to that series against the Oilers last year in the playoffs. But if you're worried about rest, if you're worried about him being at his best come playoff time, best way to do that is to give him a more reasonable workload. Jacob Markstrom, of course, gets a year older into his 30s. I don't think you're worried about age at this point for Jacob Markstrom, but if you can competently run out Dan Vladar on a semi-regular basis, if you're talking about a guy that maybe gets into 25 games for the Calgary Flames next year or this upcoming season, I think you're probably pretty happy with that if you're Daryl Sutter and company. That gives Jacob Markstrom every opportunity to rest. The goaltending gurus for the Calgary Flames, that goaltending department, you know, used those days really strategically for Dan Vladar down the stretch last year. They tried to maximize those rest days for Jacob Markstrom, but maybe it's just a case of getting Dan Vladar those first couple of starts of this year, getting that faith in Daryl Sutter, a guy that we know here in Calgary is always keen on running his starter out there, and Jacob Markstrom never afraid to take the net for the Calgary Flames. That's the goaltending scenario. You heard Daryl Sutter mentioned a little bit earlier, not a lot of the NHL center depth for the Calgary Flames making the trip up to Edmonton. They send a number of centers, including Adam Rzeczka. Kevin Rooney was part of that group. Connor Zary also part of that group. This is a guy that's really impressed in camp. Going back to last week in the mornings, we talked to Julian McKenzie from The Athletic, and this was a guy that had really stood out for Julian. I know me and Pat talked about him on Flames Talk going back a couple of weeks now. As, you know, the intrigue level for Connor Zary was huge, a former first-round pick for the team that didn't get into training camp last year for a whole lot of time due to an injury. What was he capable of doing in his first NHL training camp? Obviously, the roster ahead of him is pretty set in stone when it comes to the NHL level. But you can set yourself up for another good year in the American Hockey League with a good camp. That's what Connor Zary has done so far. He had another strong performance for the Flames last night. He is the final person that we'll hear from last night following the game against the Edmonton Oilers.
Connor, preseason game. You haven't had a lot of preseason action. What's it like to be out there with guys like McDavid and Draisaitl? I mean, for yourself.
Yeah, it's good. Obviously, you want to come out and play against the best players you can, right, and show that you're at this level and you can play at the next level. So when you got the best couple players in the world out there you're playing against, that's where you want to be and kind of show that you're at this level, you can play at this level, make plays and be effective. So it's always good to kind of match up against a full roster like that.
You had a few chances, especially at the end, to tie it. What happened on that last one?
Yeah, kind of disappointing. You need to see the puck go in the net there, and you got to bear down and put those ones in. So I saw an opening and tried to go far side with it. I caught the edge of a shin pad and just missed. So tough, but not dwell on those things. Try and take the positives from the game. Hate losing, but like I said, take the positives as you can.
You got to like the battle level, though, from your group, you know, the way that you guys hung in there. And I think Daryl pointed that out, too, just to, you know, that push, especially in that third period, the way you guys did.
Yeah, I think we definitely had to get our pace up to speed. And like I said, they were playing a lot of guys, and we had a bit of a slow start. We were a bit sloppy, but I think once we came together and the game went on and we continued to battle and hung in there, and obviously we had a lot of chances to tie it up and kind of push the game forward, but we just came up short.
There you go. Calgary Flames center Connor Zary speaking to the media last night. Connor Zary, no points on the night for him, but he plays 13:56 of ice time, gets 2:45 of that on the power play. He's made a positive impression so far at camp. Expect him to be a big member of Mitch Love's team, when the Calgary Wranglers take to the ice. No additional cuts to the Calgary Flames yet. They're back in action on Monday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. We are live in Black Falls, Alberta, for the 2022 AJHL Showcase. 16 teams, 4 days, 4 games a day for a chance for some of the best talent in the Alberta Junior Hockey League to showcase in front of fans and scouts from the NCAA, the NHL, and the college hockey level. Really great showcase that they've had out here at Black Falls. Really love that the Alberta Junior Hockey League was able to bring us out for this event. Really looking forward to it. Not only are we broadcasting Sportsnet today from 4 to 7 here on this afternoon, we're also going to bring you tonight's matchup between the Black Falls Bulldogs and the White Court Wolverines live from Eagle Builder Center here in Black Falls, Alberta. Peter Labardius on the call. That's coming up in about 90 minutes' time. Keep it locked here on Sportsnet 960 around the corner. We'll talk some CFL football. The Calgary Stampeders underway from McMahon Stadium in a matchup against the Toronto Argonauts. A heartbreaking loss, at least not maybe not for people here in Calgary, But up the road in Edmonton, the Edmonton Elks with a chance to end their brutal home losing streak, and they fall short against the Montreal Alouettes. We'll also hear from Nick Ledgerwood, assistant coach for the Cavalry FC. They're in action tomorrow in a big matchup as well, plus some NFL news as fallout continues from the Tua Tagovailoa situation that happened on Thursday Night Football between the Bengals and the Dolphins. That's next when Sportsnet Today returns here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Sportsnet Today continues here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's Logan Gordon along with you, coming at you live from Black Falls, Alberta. We are here for the annual AJHL Showcase that's been running since September 29th and ends tomorrow at the Eagles Builder Center here in Black Falls, Alberta. All 16 AJHL teams here in Black Falls for 16 regular season games over the event's four-day schedule. Their top talent on display for scouts from all across North America, including scouts from the NHL, the NCAA, U Sports, and more. A tremendous weekend out here in Black Falls, and very excited that we got to take a part, play a small part in it. They've had vendors out here all day, different family events going on. It's been really exciting to see the excitement around junior hockey here in Black Falls, and we're not done yet. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, Black Falls Bulldogs in action against the Whitecourt Wolverines. Peter Labardi is going to have the call for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan as we bring you the key matchup tonight here at the AJHL 2022 Showcase. Can't say enough about the tremendous facility that they've built here in Black Falls. I know they were a bit behind getting things underway for last year's season in the 2021 season, but it's fully underway, fully operational here, and it is tremendous. As good a spot as you'll find in the AJHL when it comes to watching hockey. They've got a great video board up on the main rink here. The seating is great. Really looking forward to getting up there in a little bit for the broadcast this evening. Looking forward to that. Don't miss it. With Lou on the call just after 7 o'clock. Lots to get to on this Saturday afternoon. A quick shout out to our producer today and the board up back at Sportsnet 960 World Control in downtown Calgary. That is, of course, Alex Brody, our man here as well on the set here in Black Falls, Alberta, setting us up, making sure that we're on the air. Good to go is that of Aaron Howell. So really excited to have the crew down here at Sportsnet 960 at the AJHL Showcase. And lots to get to on this Saturday. We talked a bit of Flames hockey last segment, but wanted to switch things over to football. An exciting day in the CFL. Two matchups in Edmonton and Calgary, the Stampeders and the Toronto Argonauts just getting underway from McMahon about half an hour ago. Some exciting news already from that one for Stamps fans. Malik Henry has gone over the 1,000-yard receiving mark on the season for the first time in his career. Currently sitting at 0-0 with about 3.5 minutes left to go in quarter number one. Saw a number of the new Flames also at McMahon Stadium this afternoon. Nazem Kadri, Mackenzie Weegar, Jonathan Huberdeau, rocking the red and white of the Calgary Stampeders, getting excited at a Saturday showdown at McMahon. And the Stampeders looking to pick up another victory after the Lions got a pretty easy win against Ottawa last night. 34-19, that would be the last hurrah when it comes for Paul Lapolis as the head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. He is relieved of his duties. It's been a fall from grace for the Ottawa Redblacks the last couple of seasons. Stamps fans will remember they were an arch nemesis of the Stamps not that long ago, taking one of those Grey Cups in Toronto, but now 3-11 on the season, an 0-7 record at home. That's not going to get it done, so Lapolis, the longtime CFL coach, gets the axe today. And a lot of people up the road in Edmonton wondering about the status of their head coach. Yes, it's just year one for Chris Jones, but things got worse for Edmonton today. They ran their record to 0-7 at home as well with a 25-18 loss to the Montreal Alouettes. And this one especially tough to handle for Edmonton as late in the game they have an opportunity to go down the field and tie this one up. They are at third and goal within the five-yard line. The Alouettes stuff them and take over control. Edmonton would not sniff the end zone again. They lose 25-18. A Taylor Cornelius pick six, the only scoring of the second half, period. That's it. The only scoring comes off of a Taylor Cornelius pick six. That's the game for the Edmonton Elks. So Chris Jones, brought in to change the culture and change things up in Edmonton, has not had a lot of success so far. 25-18, the final there. We'll continue to monitor and bring you updates when it comes to the Calgary Stampeders and the Toronto Argonauts today from McMahon Stadium. Wanted to switch things over to the NFL, where it's been an interesting day ahead of an NFL Sunday tomorrow because of all of the ongoing circumstances, we'll call it, with Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. The story started earlier this morning when Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network reported that the NFL's Players Association has terminated the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant who was involved in Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa's concussion check. That's a big deal. The Dolphins were under investigation by the NFL and the PA regarding how Miami handled Tagovailoa's return to Sunday's game against the Bills. Despite him appearing to be disoriented by what the team originally said was a head injury, it was later declared a back injury. He was hit, of course, by Matt Milano late in the first half, stumbled to get up, it was evaluated for a concussion, but returned to the game at the start of the third quarter and was not in concussion protocol the following week, which was, of course, a short week that culminated in that incident in Cincinnati that obviously the tough images for people to watch after he was slammed to the ground by a Bengals D lineman. He has that fencing position, as many call it, when you suffer a serious brain injury. He was released from hospital in Cincinnati and able to fly home with his team. But this is obviously a situation that we're trying to monitor and that the NFL is keeping a close eye on. There's a couple of different reports that have, you know, coincided with Tom Pelissero's, that this independent neurologist was at least accused of or being talked about, in a sense that they made a couple of at least, or we're calling it several, excuse me, mistakes when it came to that report on Tua Tagovailoa. That's not okay when you're talking about a guy who's dealing with a brain injury. He obviously fired because of that, but now you have to go into what the Dolphins did and their side of things heading into Thursday night football. The good news is, though, the PA and the NFL appear to be on the same wavelength when it comes to this. They released a joint statement this afternoon into the application of the concussion protocol involving Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. They say the investigation remains ongoing. Therefore, they haven't made any conclusions about medical errors or protocol violations, but they have agreed that modifications to the concussion protocol are needed to enhance player safety. That has already begun conversation. They are going back and forth on it now. The main thing coming out of this statement this afternoon was they're trying to change the conversation when it comes to the term gross motor instability. We anticipate changes to the protocol being made in the coming days based on what the NFL has learned thus far in the review process. That is an interesting term to use when it comes to all of this. I'm not a doctor. I'm nowhere close to a doctor. I can't tell you why exactly that term is the one that they're focusing on. I'm curious if we get more information that it comes out that that was a term that they feel was misstated or misused in the situation surrounding Tua Tagovailoa, but we'll see. As of right now, like I mentioned, that NFL and NFLPA joint statement saying they're working together. They anticipate changes to the concussion protocol in coming days, and their conversation right now focusing on that term, gross motor instability. We still don't have an update on Tua Tagovailoa going forward, what his status is with the Dolphins, and let's be honest, doesn't really matter. When you see a situation as scary as that one, you are just worried for the person and not the player. That's really the statement that the Dolphins have put out so far. We'll worry about that when the appropriate time comes. But for now, just hoping that Tua is okay. And this is a situation we'll continue to monitor when it comes to the NFL and concussion protocol. We're live here for the AGHL 2022 Showcase from Black Falls, Alberta. I'm Logan Gordon. This is Sportsnet Today. We've highlighted a couple of interesting events going on around Calgary and area this weekend, including the Calgary Hitmen. We chatted with Jeff Hollick about that earlier. Stampeders are underway right now. They're at McMahon against the Argonauts in a huge game for them when it comes to locking up or trying to lock up a potential home playoff date down the road. And tomorrow, the action continues in the city of Calgary. Cavalry FC back in action after a tough loss to Ottawa last weekend. They'll look to bounce back at home at ATCO Field. To chat about that and more, we go back to Thursday morning on the another edition of Sportsnet Today. Patrick Dumas chatting with Nick Ledgerwood of Cavalry FC, talking about the loss to Ottawa and some of the expectations for the group and what is a big matchup this weekend. So we'll flash you back to that. This is Nick Ledgerwood of Cavalry FC with Patrick Dumas earlier this week.
And we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to talk to the assistant coach and former member of Canada's men's national team, Nick Ledgerwood. How you doing, Nick?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, not a problem, buddy. Thanks for stepping in on such short notice. Talk about
all good.
Hey, man, all good. Thank you so much. Talk about last week. You know, there was some good, obviously, the crazy goal by Tabla to start things off, but ultimately you couldn't tie it up after that, the Escalante PK. But what are some of the good things you saw out of your group on last Saturday?
Yeah, I think and that's what we tried to focus on this week. You know, you go behind the eight ball early on in the game, fourth minute with Tabla's goal that's now circulating social media as, you know, one of the goals of the year. And you just kind of shake your head after that because we know how hard it is then to break down Ottawa, especially going a goal behind. They're a very well tactically trained team that just sit defensively and wait for any little mistakes. And that's exactly what we did. You know, credit to the team, and they tried everything they could to open them up and get chances. We got one back with the penalty, but it was just one of those, is, you know, too little, too late. But no fault of the guys. You know, they did everything we asked of them, and just a few little mistakes on the backside, and that cost you the game. But, you know, we had large amounts of possession. We had some good entries into the box. You know, it's just that last little detail that failed us on the day.
Now, how's like I said off the top, chance to clinch a fourth consecutive playoff spot now with a point. Obviously, you want the win. How has the week been at practice heading into Sunday's tilt with Valor?
Yeah, really great week. I mean, the weather helps as well.
Yeah.
As we're still training outside, it's been a gorgeous week. The guys are all, you know, focused in on what we got to do. It's you know, our little final now. Like you said, we want to clinch the playoffs here for a fourth year running, and it means that we'll end up hosting another home game at Coe Field, and that's exactly what we want to do for the club, for the fans, for the players.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to stay in that playoff spot. We don't have any intention of leaving it.
Got Meyer Bevan back, played a little bit off the bench there on Saturday. How's it getting him back after his tough injury? And just how is the overall health of the club heading into the final couple games of the regular season?
Yeah, he's been a bright spark for us. And I personally, I know how it is coming back from an injury. And you'll take whatever is given to you as far as minutes or on the bench or just being part of the locker room again. And it's that fresh air that maybe a couple of the guys needed. That fresh lift, you know, his smile's contagious when he comes in the locker room. He's a great lad. And, you know, he's just going to bring that little bit of extra energy. And then he's got the quality on the field as well. I mean, when he was fit playing, you know, he was one of our top goal scorers at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to have his quality back and to be available off the bench is going to be great for us.
I've been excited watching not just Cavalry this year, but the entire league. It's like I said, it's the fourth year of the Canadian Premier League. Each year, better play, better players. What have you made of the overall play in the league this season?
Yeah, I think it's a league of parity now, right?
Yeah,
I think everybody's up in their game a little bit, and everybody's you know, trying to find those pieces that fit their club a little better. And it is right. We should have at least five or six teams fighting for playoffs. That's
mm-hmm.
what it's all about. You know, in the past years, you've kind of separated both your, okay, well, these three, four teams are making playoffs and these three, four teams aren't. And, you know, this year, especially, you have everybody's beating everybody. It's great for the league. It's great to grow across Canada. Next year, we're going to have another team in there. So you can definitely see that this league is here to stay, and it's growing while it's doing that.
Now, a bit of, like, kind of off topic, but kind of on topic here. It's been a bit of an issue in the NFL with non-contact injuries with players playing on artificial turf. Now, Cavalry have the benefit of playing on one of two grass pitches in this league, Halifax being the other. I know grass is expensive to maintain, especially in a climate like Canada. But like we just talked about the advantages and just the quality of differences between artificial turf and grass, especially when you're playing at such a professional level, you know there's going to be the health impact as well on it.
Yeah, and we had a couple big injuries at the beginning of the year with Fraser Aird and Tom Field, and it was due to the turf. And I think at this level, the speeds that these guys reach and the power that they have in training, you know, one wrong step and with that speed, with that power, if you're not able to move the turf, if it's a wrong step, like you would be able to on grass, you know, you're just going to rip the grass up if it's a bad step and all your weight and power is there. You can't do that on turf. So what gives? Yeah, it's your body. And, you know, mostly it's the knees or the ankles. And so, you know, I was always a fan of, I'd rather have grass to play on, you know, and it is hard to maintain, but Spruce Meadows has done unbelievable job this year. I mean, if you looked at the grass last game or the field last game, it's in the best shape it's ever been.
And that was after horses were on.
And that's leading into October as well.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be any excuses not to do it. Like you said, it's probably a cost factor and the upkeep with it. And you just can't train on it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. The more you train on it, the more it chews it up. So you got to pick your training facilities carefully, whereas I think most of the teams that have turf end up just training in their stadium because it's turf. But yeah, there is that concern. The more professional you get with it, the more injuries you're going to get because of the speed and power of these players.
Now, you spent a little something personal to you. You spent some time in Australia helping getting your coaching license up and going, helping out with the Canadian women's team. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was great. It kind of came out of nowhere. I got asked to be a part of the technical staff for the camp in Australia. They had two friendlies against Australia, and this was kind of their prep camp for the next World Cup that's going to be held next summer in Australia.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was great to see a different perspective in coaching at such a high level. I mean, the women's team is the gold standard of women's football, and just the amount of details that's put into it, and the amount of accessibility that the players have to every marginal gain is phenomenal. There's no questioning why they're on top with everything that they have. I think we traveled with 18 staff members down to Australia.
Wow.
So it's phenomenal. I learned a ton of stuff, and you know, it was great because I could pick and choose some stuff that I thought would help out our team and our situation as well, and was able to bring back, you know, maybe even just some different perspectives on it to start conversation with the Cavs and the coaching staff here. So yeah, it was a great opportunity.
That's awesome. And one more from me before we, well, a couple more actually, I'll say. The first one here. You know, Canada, you were 50 caps with the Canadian men's national team between 2007 and 2016. Now, it's hit some history here. They're going to the World Cup for the first time since 1986 with a real good squad. Now, how's your feeling on the squad heading into Qatar here in the next couple months here?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been the best squad that Canada's ever had, no doubt. The depth in it, the players in it, especially in the offensive half, where the players are playing at. They're playing at their club. They're contributing at the clubs. You know, I think that's the best Canada's ever had as far as depth. I would say the only concern for me going into the World Cup is our backline. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if you compare the front to the back, our back line's not as strong. There's some great players playing at a great level, but I think at the highest of an international level, when you start facing a Belgium and a Croatia in World Cup matches, you know, the boys are going to have to definitely be on top of their game to get those results.
And last one for me, Nick, just how important is it to try and fill Spruce Meadows' last two games here? Just get that the crowd going, that support. I know you guys have had one of the best home records in the entire league. Just speak to the support of the fans in this city.
Yeah, and I think it's been great. Last home game, I think we had just over 4,500 fans out, and they were loud. They were pushing the boys on. It was awesome. And I think, you know, the boys after the game felt a little bad because they're like, man, we got to repay these fans that came in.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came here for a win, and we didn't give it to them today. So, you know, that's going to be in the back of their mind come Sunday. And I think just the realization that the off season's so long here in Canada that why wouldn't you want to come out and watch the last two games of the season and support the boys? Because you know what's coming after that, and it's a long winter. So,
oh boy, yeah.
Right? You know, why wouldn't you want to come out and support us in our playoff run and the push for it? So, you know, I don't think there's any more reason to come out and do that. I think everybody's hopping on the bandwagon as well as far as soccer and the World Cup coming up and seeing it live is just a different experience all around.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a season ticket holder. I think it's some of the best atmosphere in this city, one of the best tickets and money can buy here. And you guys are doing a great job and being competitive at it as well. Thank you so much, Nick, for joining us here. And best of luck on Sunday against Valor.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
There you go. Nick Ledgerwood of Cavalry FC joining Patrick Dumont a little bit earlier this week, getting set for a big matchup tomorrow from Spruce Meadows against Valor FC. Looking forward to seeing if Cavalry can bounce back after a tough result against Ottawa last weekend. We are live at the 2022 AJHL Showcase here in Black Falls, Alberta. Logan Gordon along with you for a special edition of Sportsnet today, leading you up to game time at 7 o'clock tonight from here in Black Falls at the Eagle Builder Center. Black Falls taking on the White Court Wolverines. Looking forward to that matchup. Our pal Peter Labardius on the play-by-play right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll take a break, come back on the other side, get you set for the last hour of the program before puck drop. Sportsnet Today continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.